Game on 2FM.
With Green Farm. Being up to 90 isn't real. The protein in our range is. Get real.
Thanks to you, Jenny Green, for entertaining us for the afternoon. It's Tuesday, the 25th of January, and this is Game On. Coming up today, Kieran Donaghy on basketball, Gaelic football, and life.
I think just take COVID away from us, you know, and take the fact that we're hopefully starting to get back to a bit of normality. You know, parents do have a role to play and get out and kick ball with their kids and shoot hoops or swing golf clubs or just get them doing stuff that they're going to make friends out of. They're going to learn social lessons. They're going to learn how to take being told that you're not good enough.
Good advice there from the star. We will start our build up to the Winter Olympics with the Team Ireland's Bubba Newby.
I'm really trying to add to my pin collection. I got a whole bunch in Pyeongchang that they're up on my wall. They look fire. And then if I can even get one place better than last time, I would be just super hyped.
Plus, we former Bohemians player Rob Cornwell in studio to talk about his American dream. And Mark Langdon on Balotelli's return to the Italy squad. If you want to get in touch, you can text us on 51552 or tweet at GameOn2FM.
Game on 2FM.
Now, welcome along. A bit of good news today. We are going to have some Republic of Ireland friendlies. I think we were expecting them to come down the track, but I don't know if I was expecting one to be as glamorous as a game against Belgium, which is pretty exciting. Roberto Martinez will bring his side to Dublin for a meeting with Ireland on Saturday, March 26th. Then there is Lithuania 3 days later. Not as glamorous, but still, we'll take any games we can get. And then competitively, the Republic of Ireland will begin their nation's league campaign against Ukraine on June 4th. And anyone who's listening to Jan on the news might be raising a few eyebrows about that, because there is a little bit of tension between the Ukraine and Russia and seems to be escalating with every passing hour. So we'll be watching how that one unfolds. Now, Shane Dawson of RT Sport is with me in studio, as is Rob Cornwell, former Bohemians player now at this stage. Rob, will be getting into your career a little bit later on and looking ahead to your move to the United States. But just in general, how are you? How's life?
Yeah, I'm happy. Just got my first tattoo, or adding to the list now of my tattoos, so straight from there.
You know, it's no surprise, Rob, that you know, we were here to talk about football and you start off with the tattoos and the modelling and everything.
So how many do you have now?
Oh, jeez, I don't even count them now. You have a full sleeve.
So when the new jersey came out now yesterday and you weren't in the ad for it, what were you thinking?
I text promised straight away. I was fuming. He was giving it the big one then. He was saying, were you not on Sky Sports?
So you'll be checking the sales now to see, you know, how many people you influenced to buy when you were modelling and how many are going to be sold of the new ones. Shane, look, we were here yesterday and we were really excited about heading home to watch the African Cup of Nations, and unfortunately it just ended in tragedy that no one could have expected or predicted, and it's really hard to even know what to say about it. So the before last night's game, 8 people were killed and 38 were injured as fans struggled to get access to that game between Cameroon and Comoros, one that we'd been looking forward to and had been previewing. Just really, really sad.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes away everything that happened on the pitch. You know, we were looking forward to the goalkeeper and everything, and Comoros putting it up to Cameroon and the host nation. But yeah, it, you know, football's irrelevant now, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And when a story like that, you know, at least 8 people unfortunately have lost their lives due to a stampede outside the stadium. And I think you mentioned 38. I think unfortunately that number has nearly risen to 50 people now that have been injured as a result. And I'm sure, you know, when you see numbers like that initially released, that more often than not they do go up instead of going down. So yeah, an absolute tragedy, and you know, it is very, very difficult to put into words, and it's completely overshadowed the footballing side of things. And for the tournament as a whole, you know, it's so unfortunate, because we were given it, you know, there was great coverage on it, and I was thoroughly enjoying kind of talking about all the backstories and everything else, and even today with Irish interest and Roberto Lopez and with Cape Verde. But it's such a tragedy, and it's horrible to see.
It's strange. It was strange to even be watching that Senegal Cape Verde game that was on today with the backdrop of that tragedy. But though, as you said, there was Irish interest and lots of people would have been tuning in to see how Pico Lopez got on, and especially because he was up against Mane.
Yeah, and Roberto Lopez lasted all of 45 minutes. So unfortunately, Cape Verde had food poisoning issues over the weekend. And apparently Pico Lopez was one of the players most affected. So he lasted 45 minutes and he was taken off for his own well-being. I think there was reports online as well that I think he was throwing up at half-time. So hopefully Pico's okay and it's nothing too serious from the food poisoning side of things. But in the 45 minutes that he did play, he had an interception to the aforementioned Sadio Mane, and he done well, to be fair. And I say he was relishing such a challenge coming up, because even look at Pico Lopez, centre half for one team, and then Koulibaly is the centre half for the other team. You know, there's quite a difference there. But it's been a great tournament for Pico and for Cape Verde, getting to the knockout stages. Unfortunately, they did lose to Senegal 2-0. And again, a very outstanding news line from that was Sadio Mane scored the opening goal. After getting a good clatter, I think might be the technical term, from the goalkeeper, and was visibly dazed, and eventually was taken off with concussion, and I think he had to be walked off very, he was walking off very gingerly by a lot of the medical staff there. So firstly, ridiculous probably that Sadio Mane stayed on the pitch after getting the hit. You could see that he wasn't right, even looking at the goalkeeper when he came up from the incident as well, could barely stand. So player welfare has to come into play first and foremost. I'm sure if you're Jurgen Klopp or if you're a Liverpool fan, it's not great seeing it. Now, the goal he did score was brilliantly taken. He edged the box and chipped a few defenders and the goalkeeper, and it went in off the crossbar, and they scored late on as well. Cape Verde had two men sent off, so it was a bit of a petered out somewhat. But for Pico Lopez as a whole, I know Stephen Bradley was kind of mentioning it today in the press about there has been interest.
Continental interest?
Yeah, apparently so. So I think the question was framed, was it from Britain or was it from Europe? And he said from somewhere in Europe. So it will be interesting to see if Pico's picked up by anyone. And I think Stephen Bradley said that will be a conversation that the club will have to have and Pico will have to have if it does come of it. But you can see he had a man of the match performance. He's, you know, it's completely positive. Obviously, it's a bit of a sour note going out with food poisoning. It's an unfortunate way to end, but great to see a League of Ireland representative on the world stage like that, and representing himself, representing Dublin, Shamrock Rovers and the league itself in a wholly positive manner.
That must be the way you feel as well, Rob. Is it the fact that he is somebody that you would have played against so regularly and you've seen him there, as Shane said, you know, going up against Mane, getting man of the match performances in the African Cup of Nations and just on the big stage, really?
Yeah, no, it was great to see him. Obviously, he was probably my rival. Obviously, he's playing for Rovers and me playing for Bows. But yeah, he's done himself proud. He's done the league proud, like, especially playing for Cape Verde. Like, they get put under so much pressure, and he held his own. Like, it's great to see, and he deserves it as well because he's a good lad.
Yeah, and it's a hugely positive thing for the league. Like, these are only small little things, but you know, we're seeing so many players moving on over the last few weeks because of the transfers and a lot of heading to Scotland. It'll be interesting to see how this interest materializes for Pico over the next while. But you know, there is a lot more interest, and the league is getting a lot of credit as well for the level that it's at when you see players going on to play for Ireland and to play in the SPL, and some who've came through and went from the League of Ireland, and even, you know, like Johnny Kenny going to Scotland and that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, even from when I started in the league, like the last, 8-9 years that I've played in the league, the standard just feels like it's going up. Maybe I'm just getting worse, I don't know. But it definitely feels like it's going up every year, especially with the young lads.
So you mentioned the word rivalry there now, not me. So we were only talking about it, myself and Shane, yesterday after Stephen Bradley's comments when Andy Lyons has headed over to the south side. And he was suggesting that one of the reasons that Andy was joining Shamrock Rovers was because he wanted to be on a team that's competing for the top honours regularly. What's your reaction when you hear things like that?
Yeah, no, it was a strange one. Andy's a good lad. Obviously, he's younger. Sometimes you have to be selfish. Obviously, the Bulls fans won't like me here and or like me saying that, but He has to do what he has to do. There's no hard feelings with anyone in football.
They'll be trying to decide who to shout loudest at now, Danny Mandrew or Andy Lyons, when the game does come up. Shane, you have to fill people in. We got a great laugh a week ago when we were talking about 5-a-side and 11-a-side and the fact that you're on a football team and now doing a bit of training and potentially playing a few matches as well, all going to plan, and you rock down to training and a guy pulls up in the car, gets out and has a hoodie on, the hood up, and starts talking out for training and ends up in Rob. That must be like the worst nightmare for players of your standard.
Well, listen, it's nice to see that the United Churches League and the League of Ireland are nearly on par now, but yeah, it was quite a surprise. I'm not sure if Eamon Zaya is going to like this conversation that you've been down training with Shelburne SSC FC, the United Churches League, so I'm not sure if both fans will want to hear that either, but yeah, no, there's an exclusive reveal. Rob's been down training in the United Churches League, just keeping things ticking over before he heads off to America, and I suppose, yeah, listen, if there's any footballer that wants to keep fit over the off-season, the United Churches League is always open.
It sounds like where it's at. We've actually spoken about it quite a lot on this show, and I'm not sure why. I'm going to have to start keeping track of the mentions now. Right, Rob, we will be getting into your career with Bose a little bit later on, and also your plans for the United States, which I'm really looking forward to chatting about. But now we are going to turn our attention to basketball and Gaelic football. A little bit earlier, we caught up with Kieran Donaghy, and I started by asking him what it's like being Kieran Donaghy over the last few months.
Yeah, hi Marie, how are you getting on? It's been busy, of course. Sports capital grants have been announced in the next few weeks, so work is pretty mad as well. But yeah, the sport in front has certainly been busy, but in fairness, I must give the basketball boys credit. You know, I was really stuck into the stacks and training really hard, and wasn't doing too much with the basketball team, because, you know, it was such kind of busy time. So they were probably really understanding, both coach and staff and the players, to my situation. They would have known how much I wanted to play in the league games and I wanted to be at more practice, but they knew what was going on. They were all going to the SACS games. They're all adopted Rockies. Daniel Jokubaitis, the MVP, was going around with a stacks scarf around his head when we got back on Saturday night to the house. So they're all adopted Rockies, so they knew the buzz. They were at all the games, and they were very supportive, and that probably was the big reason alone. The success with the basketball was probably their attitude towards me, and me trying to repay that them by trying to show up and perform to my ability. So yeah, I've been busy a few weeks, but ups and downs as sports go, but really enjoyable.
You played really well in the basketball final, Kieran. Like, you really stood out. I went along to it, and you know, you were kind of rolling back the years there. Do you think it was a case that maybe less was more, the fact that you kind of were balancing everything and maybe took a little bit of time to mind the body too?
Yeah, possibly, Marie. Like, there's more in me. Like, I was effective when I was in the game, but unfortunately, with the very harsh technical foul that was called on me, I only got to play 16 and a half minutes, so that was a bit disappointing. But, you know, certainly I would like to be getting a bit more basketball into me, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Even, you know, Marie, through Billy, and I know the boys are playing, you know, there's plays in basketball. You have to know where you need to be, what you need to be doing, who you screen, who you're trying to free up, what are you doing after the shot. You know, there's so much going on. So there was a bit of cramming on my side just to kind of have an idea of the offenses that John and Gareth and Jimmy wanted to run. And yeah, I would certainly, with my dyslexia, plays have never been my strongest point. It's more energy and emotion in my game, but I certainly would like to be out there more. So I think if I was playing a bit more, you know, I might have been more effective. But it was just about winning the game and the semi-final against your adopted club, Aina, was certainly a belter of a game, and one that was probably the winning of the cup for us. Was that semi-final weekend's win when we were really struggling, and our captain set up with three big threes down the stretch, But it was, you know, that's what Fergal does. He does it again the last day. But for us, you know, that semi-final was massive. But to answer your question, I would like to be playing a bit more. We'll hopefully get a bit more training over the next few months to try and go win this league, because with the league taken off us 2 years ago, we felt hard done by him, and we're out to try and get it back.
Well, you certainly looked right at home anyway when I saw you, Kieran, that's for sure. That's really interesting about the dyslexia and basketball, and not something I guess I would have considered too much. Probably just I wouldn't have an in-depth knowledge of the way basketball works, getting to know it now more with the kids and that. But just yes. The fact that the plays are so important, and it must make it difficult for anyone that's struggling a little bit with dyslexia or anything learning, really.
Yeah, the plays can be, you know, quite technical, and there's a good few of them to know, and it's more about kind of, you know, not letting the team down, because if you don't do the right thing at the right time, you know, you mess up the offense, and then the other four fellas are around the place looking, going, geez, where is this guy? He's in the wrong place. He's after taking away on my driving lane. He didn't set that screen. So there's a bit of pressure on knowing the offenses, but. Yeah, they would have never overly been my strong point, but I try and just make sure my energy levels are high and that I'm trying my best, and that'll usually cover up the few mistakes on the offences.
Kieran, it's interesting. I know we've chatted before about how much basketball means to you, and I met so many people would obviously automatically just associate with Gaelic football, but clearly there's a hunger and there's a big appetite to push on now in the league that you mentioned. But you know, obviously the amalgamation of clubs down there, and there's such a strong basketball following in Tralee at the moment, and the club itself only formed in 2016, so how big is the buzz down there now since the cup final win, and you know, the determination both from the playing point of view and indeed the supporters now to really push on?
Yeah, the game is massive down here, Shane, and you know, we're keenly aware of how important Saturday night was for that reason alone. And you know, the game is very high in the agenda list here with kids, and that's what we wanted, and that's why we were trying to start the Warriors when, you know, Terry O'Brien and Pat Carey and John Dolan and Jimmy Diggins and the rest of the committee first met. That was, you know, a strong message in it, that a team needs to be here for all these younger kids to see and to try and emulate and to try and go and work hard in their game, stay off the devil's device, the phone, and get out and shoot the basketball and bounce the basketball. And you know, it's a keen message that's spread constantly between the Tralee Imperials and Temperance clubs. You know, to work hard in your game. Even myself and Fergal with the Crossover Academy, it's all about the training you do with the teams. Isn't enough that you have to go and do your own stuff. And Marie will know about it. I see her fellas on her Instagram. They're non-stop out playing, and that'll be the difference for them when they're older, is the amount of experience, you know, they would have had from playing against each other and practicing against each other and putting in extra time away from the actual teams. And for kids that want to make it in any sport, that's what it takes, and that's what you're trying to promote. And you do need something that's really going to whet that appetite. And I was a strong believer, because it just had such a huge effect on me as a kid. You know, I went to the complex for the first time and saw the 6'8" centre from Old Dominion called Carol Leonard, who's our vice chairman now in the Warriors. And he scored 50 points. You know, he was Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson rolled into one for us, because you know, he was there, he was here, he was around the town. You'd see him, you know, you'd be going to the games, you'd come back from the games with a real buzz and high energy level, and you'd be kind of out the back shooting for hours trying to emulate them in your head. But what that's doing is it's creating more time with the ball in your hands, which is allowing your skill level to get higher, your competitive edge with yourself if you're setting targets, which I'm always trying to preach to both kids and adults that I coach, is like, you know, if you're going practicing, you have to know how many shots you've taken and how many you've made, so that when you the next time you go practicing, that you can compare and you can actually start to see that the practice is paying off, because you see your numbers getting higher. And we had that in the Irish teams. You know, we were given a sheet with 500 shots to do each week between training. And, you know, you'd see yourself getting better. And, you know, believe it or not, I was a good shooter when I was younger from outside. And it was the work that I was putting in the back garden. And, you know, seeing my shots and going up to Coach Joey Boylan and Dave Fitzsimons and sitting down with them. And they'd be looking at your sheets. And, you know, you'd have Daniel Boylan, who was on the team for me from Tralee, used to come up to my house every night, and we'd get our 200 shots up and get it done, and probably say a bit of one-on-one, and all that stuff is really what kids need to be doing to try and get better, so that they can go and try and achieve their dreams that they set themselves of whether it's football, whether it's hurling, camogie, basketball, whatever it is, that if you want to try and get to the top of the game, you know, it's brilliant when you're able to see it in your own town and be able to go do, you know, what you set out to do. And, you know, for the likes of all those Tralee lads, Fergal O'Sullivan, Owen Quigley, myself, Darrow Hanlon, they all went and saw the Tigers, and probably the last few fellas I mentioned might have saw our Tigers teams in 05 and 07 winning cups, and 03 and 08 winning the league. So, you know, that's a huge catalyst for youngsters to be able to see that.
Yeah, well, Kieran, I had seven little boys with me when I went on Saturday night, and we were on the way back from the O'Byrne Cup final. So they had been to the Gaelic football and they got the basketball. And a lot of them had never been to a basketball match before. And like, they'd obviously heard you, but they were really curious then about the benefits to Gaelic football that come from basketball. I'm sure a lot of them went home and asked their parents, could they take it up? But like, what was the crossover like, and how much do you think the both sports benefited each other?
Oh, look, it is spoken about a lot, and I've spoken about it a lot before, Marie. And I think it's well documented, going back to John O'Keefe when he played a lot of basketball, and you know, a lot of the guys on the Kerry teams in the 50s and 60s were big basketball guys. And you know, it's, you know, whether it's been Lee McHale or Jason Sherlock or whoever it's been, you know, Michael Darren McCauley, you saw how effective he was, Aidan O'Shea, like, basketball has a lot of crossovers to the game, and you know, that's a huge part of my game. And you know, even the youngsters I see in Stacks now, you know, Paddy Lane and Danny Lane, guys that I have at our own crossover academy camps, they're playing, they're calling to Kerry minors now, and when you see them playing football, it's so obvious that they're so good over their head, they're good decision makers, they're good hand passers. They're good at putting weight on the ball to land in front of a guy or ahead of a guy. And that's all coming from fast break passing in basketball. The amount of decisions you have to make in a basketball game, you know, the amount you're going up for contested ball, all huge parts of the crossover between the two games. And I was lucky enough that both of them played, you know, had a huge part in my career as both as a footballer and a basketballer, was the fact that I was playing the two of them, you know, all the way up as a kid.
It must drive you absolutely crazy now when you know, you mentioned the phones there, but like, we all know about the difficulties with the PlayStations and all those things as well. And I suppose lockdown probably did play a big part in it. And it's, you know, it's hard to point the finger at parents when they were trying to work from home and giving the kids the devices just to occupy them. But it is quite worrying, really, though, Kieran, isn't it, when so many people are spending their time in front of the devices and not out playing?
Yeah, it's you know, it's we play a big role in that ourselves, as parents. And as you rightly said, of course, lockdown was tough, and it was tough on everybody. And you were trying to get them to do homework, and you were trying to work, and you know, it was a really hectic time. But I think just take COVID away from us, you know, and take the fact that we're hopefully starting to get back to a bit of normality, you know. Parents do have a role to play and get out and kick ball with their kids and shoot hoops or swing golf clubs or just get them doing stuff that they're going to make friends out of. They're going to learn social lessons. They're going to learn how to take being told that you're not good enough. You know, that, you know, when you go for your job at 22 or 23 and they tell you you're not good enough, that you've done experiences through sport of losing big games and losing finals, and that tells you you're not good enough on that day. And, you know,
you've two options. One, put the head down, go to work and get better at what you're not good at, and two is to feel sorry for yourself and think it's everybody else's fault. And I think sport is such a good leveler and such a good tool for kids to teach them lessons, them type of lessons, unbeknown to them a lot of the time when they're younger. But for parents to get them involved in sport, get them playing, bring them down to their clubs, bring them to their Super League games, bring them to the guys from their area that are playing at the top level of the sport in Ireland, bring them to National League games, bring them to the League of Ireland, bring them to the sport that they can see, the rugby. So, you know, you're whetting their appetite, and then you're out practicing with them, and then they're starting to get a bit of success with the teams, and then they're off into that kind of, they have the bug, and now they're going to get taught, you know, that sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes it's not good, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it crushes you, but you have to figure out a way that, you know, that to get yourself out of that. Why, like, why did we lose? What did we do? What did I do? What did, how, you know, could I have done more this year? Could I have done more strength conditioning? Could I have done more mobility? Could I have done more kicking, shooting, whatever it is? I think that's why the sport is so important for kids, and why you have to try and help get them off that phone. And, you know, don't maybe take the easy option of lying back in your couch on a Saturday evening when there's a big sporting event happening in your area. You know, if you're okay financially and you have the money to take them to these sporting events, try and take them and try and get out with them and try and, you know, generate a bit of excitement. I remember kicking with my uncle Brian. He was a guard. He'd come down from Dublin. He'd be out the back, you know, and he was Paddy Cullen and I was Mikey Shee, and it was penalty shootouts against the garage door, and it was, I might as well have been in Crow Park the way he sold us, and a bit of imagination on his side about doing a bit of commentary while we were kicking. And, you know, I'd be doing that crack with Lola Rose, and, you know, 5 seconds to go, Lola Rose, Danny, he's a shot to win the game, and, you know, she's going to miss a few and she's going to score a few, but, you know, they're good lessons, and probably stuff that we can do when COVID fully settles down and people get back to that bit of normality, to not stay in the trap of giving them the device or giving them the cartoon or whatever. And, you know, if you've got space, or you've got somewhere where you can go where there's, you know, an outdoor court or an outdoor pitch, just take them down and just get a bit of kicking done for an hour. It's a bit of exercise, good for their mind, and you're wetting that appetite all the time.
I'm sure there'll be lots of people nodding along in agreement there, Kieran. It's really good advice. I don't know where you find the time, though, because you do have an awful lot going on with Armagh as well, and the league coming in pretty quickly. It's going to be kicking off this weekend. How are you finding it all, and you know, especially the time and juggling the role?
Of course, it has its challenges, but I'm very lucky to have a very strong woman in the house here who keeps everything under control. And you know, we dovetail nicely, and you know, I'm very hands on when I'm here, and you know, there's nice levels of understanding of those parties. And yes, Armagh is going to be my major focus going forward, because you know, those guys were probably without me a lot during the preseason, so they'll get a huge amount of attention now going forward, and can't wait to get stuck into the league. And what a opener against the Dubs in Crow Park coming up next Saturday night, and it's an exciting time to be involved with the team. They're excited, you know, the people of Armagh are excited, big numbers going down to Crow Park the next day. So that's, you know, we're back, and you know, that was the beautiful thing about the arena the last day, just that buzz, the crowd. Jeez, when we went through all those dark days with empty stadiums, and it was just so hard to be a sports fan with everything else that was going on. Just, you know, we were having to get Sky Sports to dub you know, that bit of atmosphere to it, because it was, you could hear the crows squawking overhead and the shouts from individual guys in the sideline. It was just a tough time, and I think, you know, it's a great time for people to look forward to sport, and the action that's going to be taking place this week in the National League all over the country is brilliant, and it's brilliant to have our games back and be able to get numbers to them. So it's an exciting time, but you know, it's a busy time, but you know, it's I'm pretty used to it at this stage, and don't take too much attention of it, and
get a lot of calls and stuff when I'm on the road with the business and able to get the coaching in, and then when I'm at home trying to spend as much time in the house as possible, and that time that you have with them, if you can fill that and try and keep them going, it's doable. So it's busy, but looking forward to it, and exciting times ahead for sure.
There's something very special about Croke Park under lights and that Saturday night football and the challenge of the Dubs, and as you mentioned, how exciting it is going to be with fans back and a good decent crowd in there. But from an Armagh point of view, Kieran, what should we be most looking forward to, or what are you most excited from an Armagh point of view going into this league campaign?
I would say the fact that the games, you know, for us, last year was, you know, it was like a mini Ulster Championship, and it all had to happen so quick and so fast. And you know, you were all of a sudden with the pre-season, we only had 4 weeks, so you know, you were trying to get so much in, both tactically and physically and chemistry wise with the group, that I think, you know, they've put in a really good pre-season, really, really worked hard throughout that, and now it's about just trying to show it the football that's in Armagh at the moment, and try and bring that to Croke Park on Saturday night like the great Armagh teams of old, and show that this team is in Division 1 for a reason, and you know, try and give as good account of ourselves. Yes, it's a very tough opener. Yes, it's Dublin. We know that they were unlucky against Mayo last year, and they're after coming back 6 All-Irelands in a row, so it's a huge task for our fellas, but that's the exciting part about it, is that they get to put themselves against the best in the country, you know, and learn, you know, and we'll learn from there. We'll see how it goes, and we'll learn afterward, win or lose. We'll learn about certain things and certain players, but there's fabulous footballers up there, and, you know, obviously Kieran has done an amazing job in the 7 or 8 years he's been there already, and you know, it's we're just trying to get better as a group, and that's what Saturday night will be about.
I know all your focus is with Armagh, but the news today that a fellow Austin Stacks man looks set to be named Kerry senior football captain for the coming season, Joe O'Connor, mightn't be the most familiar name to fans across the country. What sort of character is Joe O'Connor?
Well, yeah, he's one of the best. Really, really strong character, like, and we were blessed with the choices that we would have had as captain this year, with the likes of Greg Horn and Dylan Casey there as well. So, but Joe his willingness to learn is hugely admirable. You know, we talk after every game. He'd come to me with clips of what he could have done, or what we could do, or what we could do as a team, and he'd talk through them, and you know, very astute, very intelligent guy, incredibly fit and strong, and has a great attitude towards the game. So Kerry have got a good one to lead him this year, and you know, he was there too last year, so he knows the group like him. When he got the goal against Roscommon last year in the last league game up there, you know, you could tell, you saw the amount of players that ran towards him, you know, in particular Tommy Walsh, who would be from the rival club in the town, but obviously sees the huge qualities that Joe has as a player and a leader, and you know, through his work this year with the club and how good he was for us in the club championship, he's now getting a huge honour in captain and Kerry, and just wish him the best of luck, to be honest with you. And even just a quick shout out to my old sparring partner who's hung up the boots, James Donoghue, class act, gas man on and off the pitch, and will be missed, and was a great servant, and you know, people remember his Football of the Year, people remember his All-Stars and his goals, but for me, how he tried to work through the injuries with the shoulders, the surgeries he went through, the rehab he put in, the size and bulk he put on to protect those shoulders, and look, he was very, very unlucky with injury, and it really hampered the latter end of his career, but he exploded onto the scene and was such a great player for so long for us, and yeah, I just give him a special shout out on what's an emotional day for a player when they do make that decision that Kerry's days are over, and you know, he's going to concentrate on the Legion, I'm sure, and give his best there.
Lovely words, and no doubt they will be appreciated. Kieran, I have to say, I think over the last 12 months, you're the person that I've seen play in the flesh in sport most, and hopefully will be the same for the year to come. Thanks a million for coming on and joining us, and best of luck with Armagh, and no doubt with Stax again when that rolls around, and of course with the Warriors too.
So thanks a million, Shane. Thanks, Marie, and tell the boys I was asking for him. And thanks for having me on. Be safe.
Will do. Thanks a lot.
Game on 2FM. With Green Farm. Being up to 90 isn't real. The protein in our range is. Get real.
Game on 2FM.
Now, welcome back. We still have an awful lot to get through there after that Kieran Donaghy interview, but I am delighted to say we are turning our attention now to the League of Ireland. Rob Cornwell, former Bohemians defender, is with myself and Shane Dawson in studio. So, Rob, even hearing that former, what's that feel like?
Yeah, it's a bit strange, obviously, playing in this League of Ireland for a good 8-9 years. It's a bit strange, kind of a bit surreal as well. I'm actually finally going over to America because it's something I always kind of wanted to do. I'm delighted to get over there.
Let's rewind a little bit, because we were talking at the break, and I hate when radio presenters say, well, we said this off air, but I was really interested to hear that you went to school in Belvo, and it's purely off the back of watching Michael Darren McCauley's Lake Grail during the week, and they were talking about the fact that he went to Blackrock College and didn't play rugby. So you were one of these people that went to rugby school as well and didn't get next or near a rugby ball.
No, I hated it. I never liked it. So I used to get me mad in first and second year because you had to. It was like compulsory that you had to play, and I used to get me mad to say, like, oh, he's going to the doctors or blah 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 so I can get away with it and go home.
So it was just football. You always wanted to be a footballer?
Always football, yeah.
So am I right in saying, or am I a bit wide of the mark here, that you didn't want to play rugby? You said no in Belvo, and then your footballing career began with Shelburne, both as a fan, and then you began way back when Alan Matthews was in charge of the club. So before you went on to Rovers and made your name for yourself at Bowes, that Shells is where it all started.
Yeah, so I was actually at Pat's 19s, and I wasn't really getting a sniff. I wasn't getting into the first team, wasn't really training with them. And then the manager at the time went to Shells 19s, and he said, give it a go. So I went, had a good season there, and then I played at 2013, made my debut against Bray the first game. And then I played a decent amount for a young lad getting into the first team. So, yeah, I was delighted, especially because I was never the best player growing up. I was always a 6, 7 out of 10 at best.
But I always find that really interesting when players say that, you know, I wasn't the best player, but, you know, you go on then to have a really good career, and there's a lot of players like you as well in the league, and, you know, even we were talking a little bit about Pico Lopez earlier, and people will say that about him as well. He wasn't always the best player, but he made the most of himself, and it seems that the League of Ireland is a place where you really have the opportunity and you get the opportunities to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to sound too cliche, but if you put your head down and you just work, get people to like you, you'll always get a chance, and then when you take it, all you have to do is try to keep your spot. Then obviously it's a hard thing to do, but luckily enough I did it.
How much is that down to playing under good managers and having good coaches that you can trust, that you can take guidance from? And then I suppose that brings us to your part of career with Bowes and the influence that both Trevor Crawley and Keith Long had on you as a footballer. How important was that for your own personal development?
Yeah, I don't really know how he got into most of the teams and kept me spot in most teams. It's probably my attribute was just being honest. It was, like I said, I was never the best, like, technically, but I always worked hard. I always got me runs on it. I wouldn't cheat or anything and skip the column, the last one. So maybe that's what they're saying. They said to give him a chance.
So there are professional footballers out there that would cheat and skip the last cone, are there?
Yeah, Keith Ward.
I can see your phone WhatsApp light up now as soon as you mentioned Wardy.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to just keep me spot in most places I went, which I was happy with.
What makes that duo tick then? Like, because looking from the outside in, we've seen Keith Long go to the Well, bringing unearthing these new talents and nurturing some of the younger players coming through at Bowes so well, and that's something that Bohemian Football Club have really, really prided themselves on, and we've seen the success that you guys have had as a result of that. But that managerial duo in particular, I'm always curious. I've interviewed both of them separately and together so many times before, and you know, what's the secret is always, I suppose, that key question that hasn't been answered yet.
Yeah, it's funny enough, actually, I went for lunch with Keith and Trev there not so long ago, just a fair goodbye. And they went to Thailand years ago, so they're good mates. They went when they were
I'm
in league
really
well.
Interested to see where this is going.
I'll finish that there anyway. I'm not going to go into any more of that.
No, do tell. You're a former Bohemian player now, bro. This is the tell-all. Yeah,
so the two lads were in Thailand. Go on.
No, I'll leave it at that. But yeah, well, Keith's the thing with Keith is they both have their eye on the same player. They all want someone hard working, honest. And Keith's the thing that I really liked about Keith is he goes for personalities, and he always brings in lads that are good. They're good for the dressing room, no egos, and that makes a massive difference for a team. It really does. And then Trev's obviously just football. I'm not saying that Keith isn't, but that's how they both work together. But it's a special duo, and it's every time or every year that I was with Bows, I've enjoyed every year just because of the dressing room.
That's a testament to what they're able to do from a coaching perspective as well. The fact that they're going for the personalities and the type of player is really important to them, that they're going to fit into what they believe and their ethos, and like you said, the hard working. So it just shows that they're able to mould the players that they pick into the type of system and team that they want then.
It's exactly what you said there. It's the ethos of our team. And if you don't really follow what we set out and don't follow our process, there's the door. It was what he used to always say to us, and that was kind of our philosophy, and that's what Bows is, to be fair. Like,
is that going to be extremely difficult for Keith and Trevor now, because we talk about having that good dressing room, and you were among a really good group, and it's obvious that there's genuine friendships there between, like, little rogue WhatsApp groups with yourself and Bucko and Wardy and whoever else, but it really kind of came together and everyone bought into it now. How difficult do you think it will be for both Keith and Trevor now trying to rebuild, considering the players that Bulls have lost? Yes, they brought in some really, really good talented guys as well, but to have those figureheads in the dressing room that will be missing now.
Yeah, from an outside perspective, it probably does look like a big, massive change. But if you look back over the years, they've kind of done it every single year. I remember Supps left, Morrow left, Detz was left. Like, these are all massive senior players that have left in 1 year, and it just gives the opportunity for younger lads to step up and show their personality. So I wouldn't be nervous about them. Like, Keith knows how to find a player. He picks players from everywhere, and then Trev's obviously going to drill them into the ground. So you're nearly like robots playing sometimes.
Will you be tuning in big time now from when you do head to America? Like, does it feel like Bows is your team now, even though it might have started with Chels?
Yeah, I know, definitely. I have a massive soft spot for Bows. If people have got me little photos and everything, I'll bring it over. And my dad has all the jerseys. He wears them when I give them to him. So, yeah, I definitely have a massive soft spot for him.
So tell us about America, because this is one of those things, I think, that could be the start of something pretty amazing. So you're after signing for the Northern Colorado Hailstorm. They're going to be in the USL League One, so it's North America's third tier. They're just starting out, so like, this is the base that they're at. You're getting in, you're actually the first player that they've signed, and the hope would be that, you know, you start at the bottom and keep moving up. Eamon Zaid, a lot of football fans as well be quite familiar with him. He's played in for many a team over the last 15 years or so, and he has taken over now as the manager over there, so there's a good connection. So how did this move come about?
Yeah, obviously I knew Eamon from playing for Rovers, but it was funny enough, I don't have an agent, never had an agent. I always kind of wanted to do the negotiations myself. Probably not the best thing. But it was actually through Keith Ward. Wardy texts me and he goes, I think I got you a deal to America. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, I want to Eamon Zaid, and he's looking for a couple of players. He was asking about other centre-halves in the league, and Wardy just goes, why wouldn't you pick Rob? And he goes, I thought Rob would settle down, thought you had a missus, a job, blah blah blah. And I didn't have a missus at the time, obviously I had a job, but it was something I always wanted to do years ago. Like, even when I started football, I was always on to my brother about getting me over there. And then when the opportunity came, I didn't want to turn it down.
So you are heading over now in a couple of weeks, and what lies in store for you? Like, what has Eamon told you about the place? It's only so much Googling you can do, I'd say.
Yeah, so it's just a massive opportunity. It sounds a bit cliche. It is the American dream. Like, he went over there to play football, and now he's starting up a massive franchise that's nearly 200 million putting into it. So I'm the exact same. I'm going over there to obviously make a name for myself, do well with the club, but further my career and my strength conditioning side as well. So I'm still studying, I'm going to see, can I do a bit of work on the side as well.
When you talk about how new the club is, I think you have to play your first six matches away from home because you don't even have a home stadium. But yeah, when you do get that home stadium, I was reading up online that you'll be playing at a 118-acre Future Legends complex in Windsor, Colorado, just south of Fort Collins. Future Legends will feature a professional stadium, multiple baseball diamonds, multi-purpose fields, an indoor sports arena, lodging and retail. So it's going to be, yes, back in the League of Ireland. We're hoping that Talca Park is saved, and we're hoping that Daily Mount Park is reimagined and refurbished as well. But it's going to be a whole different world over there. And you're talking about Eamon then having the squad that he's putting together. I think it's 16 players signed, former American under 20 goalkeeper. You seem to have the spine of the team there. And you also have another Irishman, Shane McFall, over there with you as well, who League of Ireland fans would most notably, if I remember him from UCD as well, and doing well over in America and in previous years. So do you think it will take a while for you to adjust and kind of settle in? Because I'm right in saying you haven't been over there yet to kind of even view these facilities.
Yeah, I'm not too sure, to be honest. To be honest, I'm old enough now to probably go over there and hold me on. I'll find something to do to keep me busy. But I'm just really looking forward to it. Like, when I was chatting to Eamon at the start, he sent me a video of the place, and it's humongous. It's so American. There's so many baseball fields. There's a massive gym, the soccer dome, everything. So it's more exciting than anything. And the nerves haven't hit me yet, and I don't think they will.
It really is, as you, like Shane describing it there, like the American dream. It's like the sports fans' dream and the sports players' dream, and anyone that would have dreamed of going and having a career as a professional athlete, like that's exactly the environment that you want to be in. So, like, how different is it going to be for you now from what you were doing here?
Yeah, it's I don't know how different it's going to be. Obviously, I probably owe League of Ireland a lot to actually get me over there. And the standard of League of Ireland has grown over the years, so probably a couple of people are telling me, what am I actually doing going over? Because the standard's probably not going to be as good, let's be honest. But yeah, it's just going to be a completely different situation. Obviously, I still have to go over there on my own. Obviously, I have Shane, like you said, Shane McFall. But like, I'm going to have to find my own feet. I need to get some more money in the door from doing my strength condition as well. So yeah, it's kind of jumping in the deep end, but sometimes you have to do that.
Please God, it does all go well. And if it does, and you do find your feet, is this where you see your footballing career for the foreseeable future? Or is this a case of, I'll go over, try it out for a couple of years, and might return home?
Yeah, so it's a year contract with an option for two. So depending on how it goes, and if we find a wife with a green card, I'll see. But yeah, I'll go over there. I'll experience everything for the first year and see how it is. And then if I like it, I'd love to stay. It's one place I'd always wanted to go, like I said. But yeah, I can't see myself. I don't want to say it now, but I can't see myself coming back.
Have you leaned on your brother for a bit of advice? Because your older brother would have been over there, and he's settled over there. He's played football in America. In terms of kind of the adjustment initially going from Ireland to the USA?
Yeah, years ago he used to ring me up or text me or whatever and say, oh, should I come home? And every single year he comes home for Christmas, he's like, there's nothing to do here. That's what he says all the time. So he's living the life over there. And one of the reasons why I wanted to go over there, obviously he told me the pros and cons about the American kind of way of living. But I'm definitely excited to go on over.
What are you going to miss most?
Oh, probably
Wardy.
Yeah, definitely Wardy and Bucko will probably be up there, but probably a Guinness.
So, like, if they do come over to visit now, I would say you'd have some crack. Like, there'd probably be a documentary in it now, Wardy going to America.
Yeah, probably X-rated as well.
I don't know. I think we need to chat to our producers, Marie, and see if Bucko, Wardy and Rob Cornwall over in Colorado. That could definitely be a little documentary made in that.
Yeah.
Sure. Rob, it's interesting as well, because, like, a lot of League of Ireland or former League of Ireland people, they're starting to spread their wings now as well, you know, like you heading off and, you know, we were only talking about Owen Wearne, who was, he was here as well, and he's heading up a Liverpool academy over there. It seems like there is plenty of opportunity for people in the States.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I'm obviously, I don't know too much about it. Owen Wearne's over there. There was a couple of other League of Ireland lads you can probably remind me of that have gone over there. Obviously, Dan Casey and Lee Desmond, they're gone over there as well. But yeah, I think it's just the unknown. I think that's why people kind of want to go. Sometimes when you get stuck in the same league for so many years, and listen, football's, you're not going to be a footballer all your life. It's a massive opportunity to go somewhere else and get a wage for playing football, so that's why I kind of want to do it.
Well, if you're looking for a goalkeeper, I'd say Shane there might give up his United Church league spot.
I'm loyal to the United Church's league play.
I've seen him play. Don't deal with him.
Rob, thanks a million for coming in. Really lovely to chat to you. The league will definitely miss you. I'd say the jersey sales now might go down a little bit, but
I think they'll be all right. I think Bob Marley's official account was. I say that's what you were most gutted at missing out, that the couple of million followers that the Bob Marley official account has won't have Rob Cornwall emblazoned on it as well.
Yeah, you can go big in America, I'm telling you. Right, that is all we have time for. Shane, thank you as always. Rob, thank you for coming in. We'll be back tomorrow with plenty to be talking about.
Game on 2FM. With Green Farm. Your rise and grind isn't real. Our protein is Get Real. 2FM.